This is The Janet Murray Show, episode 364.
You're listening to The Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to deal with difficult customers or clients. And as ever, I'm going to keep it really practical and tactical. So hopefully by the end of this episode, you should have a list of tactics that you can try with your most challenging people. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to let you know about something exciting that I've got coming up. So from September the 16th to the 22nd, so that's 2019 if you're listening in the future, I'm going to be running my very popular 7-day Facebook page engagement challenge. So if you're finding it a challenge to get engagement on your Facebook page, and by that I mean comments, likes and shares, then you're going to love to take part in this challenge. In it, I give you a small task to do every day across a week. So it's across 7 days, really short, really manageable. And if you take part in the challenge and you do everything that I ask you to do, you should see a noticeable difference in the engagement on your page in just 7 days. To help you stay on track, I'm going to be putting out a daily podcast episode next week, which outlines the challenge for each day. So do look out for that. And if you'd like to register for the challenge, you do need to register to take part. We have our own private Facebook group where everybody gets in to support each other during the challenge. Then you need to head over to janetmurray.co.uk/Facebook page challenge. So it's janetmurray.co.uk/Facebook page challenge. And now on with the main part of the show. Do you ever have those clients or customers who seem impossible to please? If you're a coach or a consultant, these typically show up as clients who sign up to work with you and then don't do the work, but somehow manage to make it feel as if it's all your fault. If you have a product-based business, these often show up as people who are asking for refunds or discounts, and often without any justification whatsoever. Now, these kind of people can be a massive drain on your energy and on your time. And hands up, I used to really beat myself up about these kind of people. The people pleaser in me just kept bending further and further backwards to help them. But what was interesting was that the more I tried to help, the more difficult they became and the more they seemed to complain. And one day, one of my friends, another business owner, took me aside and she said, "Janet, you do realize that these people are just lazy, don't you? You're showing up. You're providing the resources, you're providing the support, you're turning up for the coaching calls, they're not doing the work. And instead of being brave and admitting that they're finding it hard and asking for help with their motivation or their organization, or admitting they don't understand something, they're trying to blame you and you're not to blame." Now, that was a massive light bulb moment for me, because I'm a really hard worker and I always give everything 110%. And even though I knew I was showing up, I was doing my bit, I was doing my best, there was a tiny part of me that wondered if maybe there was something, maybe there was some truth in it. Maybe what they were saying was right. Maybe I wasn't good enough. Maybe I wasn't working hard enough. Maybe I should be doing more. And just having that really frank talk from a friend of mine, it was a massive, like, game-changing moment for me. But of course, that alone wasn't enough. I needed to make sure that I never got to that point where a client was complaining and I was feeling like upset about it. Like, I knew something needed to change. And we chatted some more about it. And what really came out of that conversation was the importance of making sure that my clients were ultra clear on my expectations of them right from the outset. And that they were also clear that just because they were paying money to me, that didn't mean that they could be rude. It didn't mean that they could be critical or unpleasant, as sometimes, occasionally, some of them could be. And that actually just paying me money wasn't enough. They had to actually do the work themselves to get results. And what really came out of that conversation for me was that prevention was better than cure. And after all, as one of my coaches always says to me, you can't really blame somebody for doing something that you didn't tell them it wasn't okay to do. So you can't blame somebody for doing something that you didn't tell them it wasn't okay to do. So that really shifted me into a new place where I started to think much more about setting expectations for my clients and customers, and making sure that they were really clear that if they were going to work with me or they were going to buy something from me, then these were basically the rules. And if they didn't stick with the rules, then they were out. So what I'm going to do in this episode, I'm going to talk you through 5 different tips or tactics that I've got for you on dealing with your most challenging customers or clients. But if you take nothing away from this episode, I want you to take away this, that prevention is better than cure. So actually, the more that you can do upfront to make sure that your clients or customers are really clear on what you expect from them as a customer or client, the less likely you'll be to have problems. I don't have a fraction of the problems that I used to have in the past with those sorts of clients, because they're now really clear from the outset what I expect from them. And they know that there's no excuses. And if they do start to make excuses, I will say to them, well, look, this is what you signed up to. This is what you said that you were going to do. Have you done your bit? So it really has been a game changer for me. So my first tip for you, and we've really touched on this already, is that prevention really is better than cure. So I've created something called a Fair Play Agreement. And this is a document that I give to all of my clients in my membership program, Build Your Audience, but also in any courses I sell, like any online digital resources that I sell. And it sets out really clearly what I expect of them and also what they can expect of me. And we tend to use the same headings across all of the documents. I'm going to run through that with you now. So the first heading is usually working hours. So I explain that me and my team, we work 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, and that's obviously GMT or BST. And so if they do have a question, they can expect an answer between or within 24 hours if it's a working day. However, I also state on that if I'm around at the weekend or I'm around in an evening or somebody in my team is, and it's convenient for them to respond, they might do, but that's not an expectation. So this has really helped us, because what was happening a lot to us is that over the weekend, we were getting messages on our personal Facebook accounts. We were getting messages on Instagram, on Twitter, like LinkedIn, everywhere. You know, people saying I'm locked out of my account, or I was wondering if I could get access to this. And they were actually, even some of my clients were actually contacting some of my team members on their personal accounts, which doesn't really feel on. So by setting this out really clearly, now everybody knows what my typical working hours are and my teams. And also they know that, yes, I might reply at the weekend or the evening if it's convenient, but they're not to expect that. And that has really, really helped in terms of people, like, you know, we used to get people sending messages over the weekend and then getting the hump if we didn't reply, you know. So now people know what the expectation is and they're really pleased. If they do get a reply at a weekend or an evening, they seem to be pleased or grateful, but they don't expect it, which is what was happening before. So response times is the next section. I've already covered that. Then I set out what's included. So I always have a heading which says really clearly what's included in the program. So it explains what resources are included, what kind of contact people have with me, because obviously there'll be a big difference between the kind of contact people have with me, say in my membership program, or if they're working with me in group coaching or one-to-one. So we make it really clear that the access that people get to me, for example, in my membership is on the weekly office hour call that we have on a Monday morning, and that there isn't any one-to-one. And if they want one-to-one with me, or they want to be able to send me personal messages and get replies back, then they will need to upgrade their membership, or they'll need to look at booking in an extra session with me or something like that. And again, that's helped really to deal with a problem I'd have sometimes where members would message me via my personal Facebook account or in fact, across all of my social media accounts, and they'd be asking for very personal responses. And obviously the nature of a membership program is it's a one-to-many model. So I have hundreds and hundreds of members in there. If somebody wants one-to-one access to me, obviously they need to pay for that through my coaching program or through one-to-one coaching. And that's really helped with that, because now people know what's included really clearly and what isn't included. And we do say, you know, for example, that one-to-one coaching with me isn't included, but we also give people information how they can access that if that's what they want to do. So that has really helped. There's a section which is called Your Participation. And this sets out really clearly what's expected. So I basically say in it, look, I'm providing the resources, I'm showing up to the group calls or the one-to-one calls. Your job is to do, and depending on what the course or program is, what, you know, we set out what is expected of them. And this really helps if somebody comes back and says, you know, well, I've been in the membership. Thankfully, it doesn't happen like every day. Thankfully, it's quite rare. But if somebody comes and says, I'm not getting value out of the membership, or I thought there was going to be more one-to-one, or, you know, I'm unhappy in some way, well, we can refer them back to the Fair Play Agreement and say, well, look, you know, we did set out really clearly that in order to be successful in this program, you needed to actually watch the lessons. You needed to actually show up to the live calls. You needed to actually participate in the Facebook group. So we're really clear about what's expected. Your participation is expected. We also have another section which is called Ask for Help if you need it. And again, for me, it's all about educating my clients that it's their responsibility to look after their progress. It's not my responsibility to make them successful. I've got the resources, I've got the support, you know, I will help as much as I can and my team will help as much as I can. But ultimately, my clients, my members, they have to understand that it comes down to them and only they can do the work. So we have this section, which is called your participation. We also have this section, ask for help if you need it, and basically say, look, it's your responsibility to be successful on this program. And that includes asking for help if you need it. So not sitting there thinking I'm really struggling, or not thinking, you know, even I'm struggling with my motivation, or I'm struggling to get things done. It's your responsibility to raise that with us, because, you know, we're not mind readers and we don't know that unless you tell us. And if you tell us that you're struggling, if you tell us that you're finding something hard, you know, we'll really bend over backwards to help. But if we don't know, then we can't do anything about it. We also have a section, and I wish we didn't have to have a section like this, but unfortunately we do, on my Fair Play agreement, which is called Be Kind. And it really sets out that, you know, just because you're paying me money, it doesn't give you license to be rude to me or anyone in my team, and that your membership may be terminated without notice if you're rude. Now, that probably sounds quite harsh. You know, I can probably count on one hand the number of members or clients I've had who have been rude, but it has happened in the past. And I do think sometimes people think because they're paying you money, that gives them license to be rude, to be demanding, to make unreasonable demands. And again, in the Fair Play Agreement, I set that out. And, you know, we're kind and courteous to our members and our clients. We expect the same in return. And also that they're kind and courteous to other members as well. And we also point out that if they're unpleasant to other members, they'll be removed as well. So that's quite clear as well. We also have a section on refunds. It states really clearly on all of my sales pages what the refund policy is, but sometimes people like to push it. So we make it really clear what our rules are around refunds, and that's in the Fair Play Agreement as well. Admin as well. So one of the things that can be quite challenging if you have a membership site or you have an online course is that people will contact you in all different ways. So some people will contact you via LinkedIn to say, I'm locked out of the membership site. Like, how do I get my password? Or they'll send a message on their Facebook page, or on your Facebook page, I should say, or on Instagram. And it can be really difficult to manage all of that. So we do say, if you want to get in touch with us, please email. That is our preferred. It's not to say that we ignore people, because we don't, but we do sort of set that out that, you know, we ask people to email because it's much easier for us to keep track of things if people send an email. So that's really important. And there's also a section in there, and this will be important for you if you have a membership site or some kind of online resources about copyright. And we remind people that they mustn't steal my content, and that, you know, if we see it being reproduced anywhere, then they can get themselves in some trouble. So that Fair Play Agreement, it's been, I can't tell you how much of a game changer it's been for me. So when people join my Build Your Audience program, we ask them to email back to say that they've read it. If anybody does ever kind of waver on the line, you know, between being reasonable and unreasonable, we can refer people back to it. But actually, I found that people have really respected it. And I feel like people respect the fact that I'm laying it down, like right at the beginning. This is what I expect from you. This is what you can expect from me if we're going to work together successfully. And I feel that things have been much better for me. I've had much less of those moments where I've had clients, you know, and again, it didn't happen all the time. It wasn't an everyday occurrence, but it happened more than I would have liked it to. And so we have very few situations where I have clients complaining about things, because they're very clear on what's expected of them and what to expect of me right from the start. So prevention is better than cure. My Fair Play Agreement, by the way, if you want to see it, I'm really happy to send it to you. I let all my clients have a copy of it if they have a copy anyway, if they're a client. But I always say to them, if you want to take the headings and use it to create your own Fair Play Agreement or your own sort of rules or guidelines for whatever it is that you do, that's absolutely fine. So email me at janet@janetmurray.co.uk and we will send you the Build Your Audience Program Fair Play Agreement if you'd like to see it and get a sense of how it works. Other ways that you can do it, I mean, the Fair Play Agreement is great. You can create them for events. You can create them if you sell products. You can create Fair Play Agreements for how you want your customers to interact with you as well. You can adapt it to any situation, really. So frequently asked questions. Whenever I'm creating a sales page, I always sit down and make a list of all the possible questions that people could ask me. And I ask my team as well, like, what do people typically ask us about events? What do people typically ask us about the membership? What do people typically ask us about things like refunds or exchanges and that kind of thing? And I find that the more of these frequently asked questions that you have on your sales page, not only are they useful for people when they're thinking of buying, but also if somebody comes back, you know, they join your membership or they join your course or they buy something from you and they ask for a refund, you can refer them straight back and say, these are our rules around the refunds. And, you know, it's very difficult for them to argue with that and say, no, you know, these were on the sales page. You can even put some kind of, I mean, it can make it more difficult with your sales process, but you can even put something, if you have an online shopping cart or you have some kind of shop on your website, you can even set it up so that people have to agree to your rules before they buy. I mean, it's something that we debated quite a lot, but sometimes it can kind of make the sales process a bit long and clunky. But it definitely makes sure that you've answered FAQs on your sales page, you've included them, because then when somebody comes back and they try to ask for a refund or an exchange, even though you made that clear right from the outset, you can refer them back to your sales page. Other things that can help in terms of prevention is better than cure. So if you do have an online coaching program or you have a membership or a course or something like that, the way that you onboard people can make a real difference. Now, this is something that we're working on to improve all the time. And I would say that we've still got some way to go on this. But when somebody joins the Build Your Audience program, we have a pre-written sequence of emails, which is basically like a membership tour. So when people sign up for the membership, they get their initial email saying, you know, welcome to the membership. And they get some information about joining the Facebook group and how to access the materials. And then we send, it's like a three-day tour at the moment, which will give people a tour of the different aspects. So I think on one day we talk about the membership area, another day we talk about the Facebook group and the community. Another day, we talk about the team. So it's I feel like the more information you can give people up front, if they come back and say, well, you know, this isn't working for me because, you know, I'm not getting this or that, you can say, well, actually, we sent you all of that information in your onboarding sequence. If you go back and look at your emails, it's all there. You did have all of this information. It's a way of kind of protecting yourself, I think. We've also turned this into a membership bot. So we've got a Facebook Messenger bot. So when people join my membership program, if they would prefer to have their onboarding sequence via our Messenger bot, which is quite a nice way to do it, then we've set it up and they can have it there as well. Other things, I mean, it all comes down to communication ultimately. So I have a membership refresher every month. So Jo, my assistant, she runs a monthly call where anybody who is either new to the membership or just maybe feels like they need a bit of a refresher, she gives them a tour of the membership site. She reminds them about where all the resources are and how to, you know, what time our calls are and how many masterclasses we have and all the kind of things that people can tend to forget. We have that every month. And again, if somebody comes back and says, you know, I'm not happy with the membership, I didn't get enough information, we can go back to them and say, well, we sent you an email on this day inviting you to our induction call. We also sent you a replay or gave you access to a replay of this call. So again, it's about protecting yourself and it's about prevention, because the more information that you've given to your clients, your customers, and the more informed they've been when they come with a complaint, as people tend to do sometimes, you know, they get buyer's remorse and they've joined your program or they've signed up for your course and maybe they've just had a big bill in or something like that. And so they decide to come and see if they can get a refund from you. Or maybe, you know, for some reason they've got cold feet. Then you can basically direct them back to all of this information and say, well, you were given this information. I can see in our case, we use Infusionsoft. It's now known as Keep for our email marketing. Now, we can see that you opened this email. We can see that you opened the email inviting you to the induction, but you chose not to come. So all of this stuff is kind of protecting yourself, but it's also, you know, it's helpful for your clients and customers as well. It's helpful information. Another thing that I do as well is I create content for my members, and I do this mostly for members and also for events. But for example, with my Build Your Audience membership program, I have a number of key blog posts. So one of them is how to get the most out of your membership. So if anybody has got any questions about it or somebody comes back and they says, oh, I'm not sure if this is working out for me, we send them back to this blog post and say, have you actually worked through all of the sections on this blog post? And we remind them of things like, for example, I think sometimes when people join a membership program, they think that the only way to get value out of a membership program is if they watch every single lesson, they turn up to every single live call, they're present in the Facebook group for hours a day. And actually, it's not like that at all. People use membership communities in different ways. And some people, yes, they need to watch everything, they need to be at everything, they need to be in the group every day. Some people can get great value by just turning up to the odd call or just getting involved in the odd discussion. People have different reasons. And sometimes I get members who they're almost a bit guilty and they feel like they're not getting good value if they're not in the membership all the time. And so my blog post reminds them of that. And I do create content and put it out there regularly, reminding them that they don't have to be in the membership all the time or consuming or in consuming mode all the time to get the best value. So that kind of content can also help reassure your clients as well. Because sometimes when they're complaining or they're getting cold feet, it's not because they really don't like your course or program. It's because they, you know, they're feeling guilty and they're feeling bad about themselves. And so anything that you can do in order to kind of calm them down and make them feel reassured can really help. So I've got that blog post. I've also got a blog post about how to join our weekly coaching call. So I have office hour on a Monday morning. And something that I realized, like about a year into my membership, is that some people weren't coming to the live call because they were scared of using Zoom. And if you haven't heard of Zoom, it's an online video conferencing software. And for me, it felt like the easiest thing in the world. Someone sends you a link, you just go along. But for some people, I found out that they were finding it really intimidating because they weren't sure what to expect. They didn't know how to use Zoom. They were worried about being on video. They were worried that they'd have to talk on camera. And this just hadn't occurred to me at all, which is why you have to kind of be, you know, you always have to be kind of listening to your customers and asking questions about their experience. So I created a blog post, which is about how to get the most out of the weekly office hour. Because, for example, with my weekly office hour of my membership, we record it, we put that in the membership area and also in our Facebook group. We have notes that go alongside it. So often we have quite interesting discussions where people suggest things to each other and I make suggestions and we're recommending books, we're recommending podcasts or blogs or resources. And all of that is available for people, whether they attend live or not. And again, in that blog post, I can remind people about that. And if somebody says, oh, well, you know, I don't know if I'm getting enough out of the membership. And say, well, you know, when's the last time you came to office hour? Oh, well, I was a bit unsure about coming because I wasn't sure. Why don't you have a read of this blog post? So again, it's all about the more information that you can give, the more reassurance that you can give, the less likely you are to have problems. Another blog post that I've created is actually about what to do if you want to leave the membership. Now, you might find that a little bit kind of a scary piece of content to create, but actually I think it's really important to put the elephant in the room. And even when somebody's become your client, it doesn't mean they're going to be your client forever. So actually creating content that addresses those kind of really challenging issues. And actually people can find that reassuring that if I decide to leave, that's going to be okay. But in my blog post, I say, you know, if you're thinking about leaving, these are the things that I suggest you do first. And, you know, one of them is booking a call in with me. You know, my members, if they're thinking about leaving, they can book in a call with me to talk about it. And we can see whether that's the right thing for them. And I can reassure them that if I don't think it's right for them, I will suggest that they leave. And that is, you know, that's something that I've done in the past. So it's just about thinking about all the potential problems. And it sounds a bit negative, but just think, if you can think about all the potential problems that could come up working with your clients and customers, and if you've worked with anyone before at all, you will have experienced some problems. And it's just thinking about those, anticipating those, and creating content. So whether that's a fair play agreement, whether that's frequently asked questions, whether that's blog posts, whether that's hosting a monthly call to remind your members or your customers about how to work with you. And as I say, I'm thinking, I don't think I'm perfect in this area at all. I'm always thinking about new ways to do this. But I found that the more that I can create this kind of content, the more I can anticipate problems before they happen, the less likely we are to get to a stage where somebody's really unhappy. We can kind of nip things in the bud. The other thing I think that's worth mentioning in the prevention is better than cure section is about discovery calls. So if you have a coaching program. And don't worry, if you have a product-based business, I'm going to be talking about how this all applies to you as well. Don't worry. If you have a coaching or consultancy practice, obviously, in most cases, you'll have some kind of discovery call. It might be half an hour, where you and your prospective client are trying to, you know, decide whether it's a good idea to work together. Now, I've been doing some quite hardcore sales coaching this year. And one of the things I've really learned is that a discovery call, I mean, I knew this already, but it's really kind of hammered it home for me. A discovery call isn't about a client interviewing you to see if, you know, you're worthy, you know, that they're worthy of your money. It's actually very much about the two of you having a conversation to see whether you can work together. And one of the things I've learned to get a lot braver about this year, particularly for my coaching program, is asking really difficult questions. So I know that there are certain types of clients that I find it quite difficult to work with, and I know exactly who they are, and I'll share it with you. I find it quite difficult to work with people who, on a one-to-one basis, and sometimes in my membership, people who've had very, very high-flying corporate jobs, even sometimes in marketing or content. I find that sometimes those kind of people can be quite difficult for me to work with because they've had a very senior role and they've had people working with them, they sometimes find it difficult to take direction, and they will... I'm not sure why it is. It might be an ego thing, or it might be, it's tricky. I don't really know why it is, but often, you know, you'll suggest things to them and then they won't take up what you suggest. And then they'll, you know, they'll still be struggling. And sometimes they come with a kind of like, I know it all already kind of attitude. And I find that personally, another coach might be brilliant at handling that. I find that quite a challenge. And I feel like that's not where I'm at my best. So for me, when I'm doing a discovery call with somebody, if somebody fits that profile, I often ask really quite direct questions. I'll often just say that to them. I'll say, look, you've had a really senior corporate role, and I'm going to be really honest with you. I sometimes find people like that difficult to work with because I find that they don't take direction. They often think they know it all already. Are you like that? Now, that probably sounds like quite an uncomfortable question to ask, but depending on how somebody reacts to that, and sometimes people get a little bit offended. And actually, if somebody gets a bit offended or defensive, that can be a sign that it's not a great idea for you to work with. So what I'm really getting at here is when you're doing discovery calls with people is spending a lot more time asking questions about, so if you have doubts, and I think we all have doubts, if you're doing a discovery call with somebody, you might think somebody's a little bit flaky and they're not going to do the work. You might be worried because you feel like somebody's like all over the place and you're worried that they're not going to implement everything because they're going to be chopping and changing all the time. Whatever your worries are that you've got in your head, it's really important that you get those out in the discovery call. And I've actually said no to quite a few people for coaching because I felt like, in particular, because I'm helping with building audiences, I felt from our conversation that they want to build an audience, but they don't know what they want to build an audience for yet. So that doesn't mean that they won't know in the future. But it's quite difficult for me to work with somebody. You know, I help people build audiences, and I'm really best at helping people build audiences if they know what audience they want to build. So if they want to build an audience of people who are female introverted business owners, if they want to build an audience of people who like running and Pilates, if they want to build an audience of people who like investing in handmade suits or whatever, if they're really clear on what the audience is that they want to build, I feel great. I don't think it's my job to help people get to that stage. That's probably a job for another business coach to help them decide what kind of audience they want to build. You know, when they come to me, I expect them to either have sort of started their building their audience and a particular kind of audience and know who their ideal clients are, and then I can work with them from there. So by asking some kind of quite tough questions, and if I feel they're a little bit all over the place and I feel like they don't really know what it is that they want to do, I will often suggest to them, I say, look, I don't know if it's the right time for us to work together now. And, you know, usually that will come by mutual agreement. How about we have another conversation a few months down the line or something like that? But I think it's really important that prevention is better than cure. I made a mistake recently. In fact, I've made a couple of mistakes recently where I took people on where I had some misgivings and I didn't spend long enough working through those misgivings that I had. And in one case, I ended up letting the person go. But if I'd listened more to my intuition and I'd just gone a little bit deeper on some of the worries that I had, we probably wouldn't have got to that stage. So if you do discovery calls, remember, prevention is better than cure. And if you take somebody on just for the money, if you take someone on just because you think, oh, well, I think they're going to be a pain, it usually backfires on you. So really important that you do that in your discovery calls. Okay, so we've talked a lot about prevention is better than cure. And actually, we're going to spend most of this podcast episode on that, because the more work that you can do up front to prevent customer or client problems, the better it's going to be for you. So my second tip would be, if you do end up in a difficult situation with a client or customer, I would advise you to get on a phone call, or get ideally on a Zoom call or a Skype call as soon as you can, because I think there's just so much that can get lost in translation on an email, and so much that can be misinterpreted. So when you can see somebody's face, when you can look each other in the eye, and I know it's uncomfortable, it's horrible, but I remember there was one situation I had with a member where she was kind of complaining about feeling that she wasn't getting enough from my program. And she was also kind of pulling somebody else into it as well, and kind of saying that they weren't happy. And I found that quite worrying, because I thought, well, you know, if you're not happy, that's fine, we could talk about that. But I was concerned about the fact that she was suggesting somebody else who seemed perfectly happy was not happy either. I said, look, let's just get on a call and let's just talk about this before things go any further. And it turned out that this person was, you know, quite distressed and quite worried, and it wasn't really anything to do with me or my program. She was having a bit of a bad time of it. And by getting on that call with her, we were able to continue working together. However, I think if we'd carried on by email and we hadn't really got to the heart of what was really the problem, which wasn't really anything to do with my program, then I think that would have been the end of our relationship. So if possible, get on a phone call. I mean, phone call is probably second best, but I think your first choice is always to get on a Zoom call and Skype. And I know it's horrible. I mean, I don't like having those conversations. It's horrible, but it's usually much easier to resolve it. My third tip would be to put the onus on your customer or client. So we have this. So I told you, if you're a product-based business owner, first of all of this can be applied to a product-based business. But secondly, I'm going to share an example with you, which is about one of the products that I sell. So as I'm recording this episode, we're just going into diary season. So I sell a physical product. It's my media diary. It's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's got key dates. It's got awareness days. And obviously, when you're selling a physical product and you're sending it out in the post, then the likelihood of something going wrong, like somebody not getting their diary or it being damaged in the post, or, you know, there's all sorts of things that can go wrong. So we tend to deal with more unhappy clients. And again, it's not lots, thankfully, but we tend to deal with more unhappy clients or customers at this time of year because we're sending out a physical product and the sort of margin for problems, or the potential for problems, I should say, is probably greater. So sometimes people are very much justified. So with my 2019 media diary, we had a problem where our printers basically sent us a dodgy batch of diaries. And we couldn't have known this until we sent them out. But we were sending them out. And by the time they got to people, I think they must have been left in a damp area or something. It was just one box of them, I think. And the laminate was sort of peeling off at the back. So people were sending us pictures of it, and that was great. And we were just said, I'm really, really sorry, we will send you out a replacement copy like straight away, like huge apologies. And we bent over backwards to replace. However, we got the odd person who just couldn't sort of accept that and would be saying, well, you know, what else are you going to do about it? And like, you know, this is just not on. I want a free membership, or I want a free wall plan, or I want, you know, and I don't think any of us would do that to John Lewis or Amazon. You know, we would just sort of say, okay, fair enough. If someone gets back to us quickly and says, we'll get a replacement out straight away, we're usually pretty happy with that. And I find in those situations that people generally, and it's generally not me dealing with this personally, it's my team, but that they're often not really upset about the diary or whatever it is. There's usually something else going on that's got on their nerves that day, and they're in a bad mood and they're just taking it out on you. So I found that a really good question to ask is, so I mean, we did have a real example of somebody who had got one of these dodgy batch of diaries. So, you know, quite rightly, we said we'd send out a replacement immediately, and that wasn't enough for them. And in the end, my assistant Lisa, she just said something like, what would you like me to do for you? And the person said, well, I want you to give me some free merchandise from your shop. And Lisa said, well, I'm afraid, you know, I can't do that. Our policy is if your diary is faulty, and we have pictures of that, and we need those in order to be able to claim back from our printing company and the post office or whatever, I'm afraid I can't do that. So, you know, what do you suggest we do? And I think it's really good to kind of ask those open questions. So ask somebody, what would you like me to do? And oftentimes, actually, people say, well, I just want to get this off my chest. And then it finishes there. Sometimes they will say, well, I would like free whatever. And you say, well, that's not our policy. So where do we go from here? What do you suggest? And often that will kind of, if you put the onus, you know, put the ball back in their court, they'll often just kind of then deflate and go, okay, well, I'll just wait and see when my diary comes, and hopefully it's okay or whatever. So put the onus back on them. You can say something like, what would you like me to do? If they say, I want something free, you can say, well, I can't do that, but maybe we can do this for you or whatever. But put the onus back and the responsibility on them. My next tip, now this is not a tip as such, it's a suggestion that you might want to try. And as everything in your business or in your marketing, just try it and see how it works. But you might have read the book by Jay Baer called Hug Your Haters, when he suggests, it's a great book, it's a great concept. And he suggests that, you know, instead of getting kind of combative with people who complain. And I'm sure that you've experienced this too, people who complain with very little justification whatsoever, that you actually kind of just, you know, just shower them with love. So one thing that I've done in the past, if people who have really complained, and sometimes I might do this with a particularly angry person, it's just, I'm really sorry that happened to you. So, you know, just to say sorry, we've put a nice little treat. You know, we've sent out a new diary and we've put a little surprise in there for you. And we might put in a book, or we might put in a little box of chocolates or something like that. And then people email back and they say, oh, thank you so much. That was so nice that you did that. And they'll often say, oh, I feel a bit bad now that I was a bit rude and I was a bit off. So you can hug your haters. So instead of, you know, getting annoyed with them, you can shower them with love instead, even if like inside you're like gritting your teeth. So if somebody complains about one of your products or services, then you could send them out, you know, a free book or a low cost little thing. Like I remember I complained to, who was it? Oliver Bonas. I didn't even really complain that much, but I'd bought something and when I got it home, it was damaged or something. I rang them up and they just sent me another one out, and they sent me a little box of Lindt chocolates, which I thought was a really nice touch when they sent it out. And I wasn't even complaining that much. So you can choose to hug your haters. Try it out. I do it quite a lot. I find it diffuses the situation if you just say, I'm so sorry about that. And that's really awful. So what we've done is we've put a little something inside the envelope or something. But you do get the odd people who just try it on. I mean, every year we have somebody with the diaries who will say that their diary hasn't arrived, and then we'll send out another and they'll say that hasn't arrived, and then we'll send out another and they'll say that hasn't arrived. And I get to the point with some people where I think actually what you're doing is you know, saying these haven't arrived so you can give them out to your friends or something. It's not possible that so many of them, you know, because the fourth one usually arrives. And there are people out there, unfortunately, I think, who do try it on and will push it. And so sometimes I do think you have to be quite firm with people. But again, it all comes back to prevention is better than cure. So in our FAQs for the media diary, when people are buying the diary, for example, we make it really clear that we don't do refunds, because if somebody buys one of our diaries and they send it back in the post, it's probably not going to be in saleable condition. So if they decide that they just don't like it, then we don't give refunds. So that's why we really, if somebody asks about that, if I don't like it, can I send it back? We say, you know, it's really important that you make a qualified decision. Why don't you have a look at our video? Why don't you have a look at some of the blog posts? So this all comes back to content, and then you can make an informed decision about whether you like it or not. So there are some people who will push the boundaries. So hug your haters is a good strategy, but you know, sometimes you do just need to be firm. And my final tip, and I think I've already touched on this really, is be prepared to let clients or customers go. Like, some situations can be resolved, like the example that I gave you earlier, but sometimes you've made a bad decision or they've made a bad decision. And sometimes the best thing can be just to let that customer or client go. I mean, I have on occasion just refunded people and just said, fine, you have your money back, just because I don't want to work with them anymore. But if somebody's rude, if somebody is difficult, if somebody's taking up a lot of your time, sometimes even if your refund policy says otherwise, it can be just better to go, do you know what? I think actually it's better that we part ways and try and do it on good terms. So don't be afraid of doing that. The way I look at it is that if you're letting somebody go, often you're creating an opening or a space for somebody who is going to be a good fit to work with you and you are going to enjoy working with. And often I find, you know, when I do let somebody go, often I get like a new member or a new client, like straight away or something, and who feels like a much greater fit. It's almost like kind of karma or something. So don't be afraid to let people go, and don't feel like you have to please everybody, that your customer isn't always right. And if you can really work on the prevention side of things, so get your fair play agreement in place, make sure you've got FAQs and all your sales pages, make sure that your customers are really clear about what's expected of them and what to expect from you, then you shouldn't have too many problems. But if it really is not resolvable, then don't be afraid just to say, look, I don't think you and I are a great fit to work together, and leave it there. So I hope you found that helpful. As ever, I do love hearing from you. So let me know what you thought of this episode. And I'd love to know your experiences as well, because you know, these are my tips and these are my ideas for dealing with difficult customers or clients. I'd love to know if you have any tips on this or any things that you've tried that have worked really well. Best place to connect with me at the moment, I would say, because I'm getting so busy, is probably over on Instagram. So if you'd like to connect with me on social media, come over to Instagram. I'm on Jan Murray UK. So I hope you found that episode useful. And just a reminder that if you'd like to take part in my Facebook page engagement challenge, you need to head over to janetmurray.co.uk/Facebook page challenge. And just to let you know that if you listen to this episode after the live date, so between September the 16th and 22nd, 2019, then don't worry, you can still go through the challenge, but obviously you may well be going through that on your own. You'll still get the daily emails, but the group may not be open and we may not be doing it live at that time, but you can still take part in the challenge.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.